any moment I'll be gone. For I've made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment on. Pick your Bibles, and let's do a Bible study tonight. The Bible study is our wedding garment. Revelation of the hour. Stand up and let's pick a text from Luke chapter 21. And I'll read from verse 34. I'll read it to verse 36 as our text. If you are there, Luke chapter 21, and I'll read from verse 34. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself talking. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. It's an exhortation, but it's also a Bible study that are titled Watching for His Coming. Watching for the coming of the Lord. Watching for His coming. Watching for His coming. Is He coming? Yes. Let's go to John chapter 14. From verse 1. Hallelujah. John chapter 14 from verse 1. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Praise the Lord. And that is one of the scriptures, the promises of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian is expecting the coming of the Lord. Remember, there are two comings of the Lord that we are expecting. In the scripture, there are three comings of Jesus Christ. The first coming, he has come through the virgin birth to go to the cross of Calvary and pay the price of redemption. He came as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He shed his precious blood to remit our sins. He fulfilled that and left. He is coming the second time he is coming. He is coming for all those who have been redeemed. Those for whom he went to the cross and shed his precious blood. Remember that it is through the cross of Calvary that the Spirit of God was released to now dwell in the children of God for the new birth as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And everyone that has been sealed with that Holy Ghost of promise, he is coming back to collect them. This second coming that is coming, he is not going to touch the earth. He's not going to step on this earth. The Bible tells us that he will hang in the air. Then he will call your names one by one. Everybody will hear his name. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we which are alive, the Bible says we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. This body will change from mortality to immortality. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This body is mortal. This body is rotten. this body that is made of clay and sand and earth shall be changed to angelic bodies. Praise the Lord. He said, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, this body will be changed. Then, together with those who have resurrected, we shall meet him in the air. And the Bible says, forever we'll be with him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we go, according to the Bible, I've taken that teaching several times here, the Gentile church and the remnant, the elect in Israel that believed in him, we go and be with him after 7 days, 7 years after the rapture. Then he's coming back for the third time. What the Bible describes as the day of the Lord. He's coming to judge this world. This judgment, hallelujah, this judgment is not yet the white throne judgment, because there are still people that have not resurrected. Everyone that does not resurrect in this first resurrection that we go in the rapture remains there until after 1,000 years. According to Revelation chapter 20. They will remain under the ground and will not come up till after 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years begins after he comes, and according to Matthew 25, he separates the goats from the sheep. He comes down on what the Bible describes as that day of the Lord. It is a fearful day. It's a dreadful day of the Lord. By the time he finishes it, according to our Bible study, from when he will be descending, and by the time he will finish it, it will last for 75 days. It's there in the Bible. By the time he finishes it, then we start the 1,000 years. The Bible says, by the time he finishes to set things in order, rearrange this earth, because the Prince of Peace is coming to dwell on earth. He will be in Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be the capital of the whole world. He will be seated in the temple there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the rest of us that received reward for staying by him in this hard and trying period while we were waiting for him to come, with the talents that he gave us, what we did with it, he will crown us. And he will give us where we shall rule with him. Hallelujah. We shall rule in every part of the world, wherever the bride was, you know, elected from. You will be sent there as a king to rule in that area. And, hallelujah, he will be in Jerusalem as the headquarters, the King of Kings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to be one of those kings. I want to be one of those kings. And I am working hard towards it. Hallelujah. I don't only want to go in the rapture. I want to go and get a serious crown. Amen. And that is the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord that we, and I'm talking about tonight, is the expectation of the bride. We are not looking forward to when he will come to judge the world. That is not what we are looking forward to. We are looking forward to when he will come to carry his jewels home. We are looking forward to when he will come to take us away from this prison yard. Hallelujah. That is what we are all looking forward to. I don't know how many of us here are looking forward to that too. Oh, how many? Okay, put that, not too many, not everybody. Amen. Praise God. May God give you revelation of the rapture. May God give you revelation of the salvation plan of God. Hallelujah. People who have that hope, people who are looking forward to that glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus to take us home, they are the ones I want to talk to tonight. Because some people came here to receive prophecy. They don't want to hear any other thing. And you go receive that prophecy tired tonight. Because all our prophets, they just came straight from the mountain. They went to charge themselves ready for next week. So we shall see them in action small this night. Amen. If that is what you are looking for. You know one thing with Jesus Christ, anything you are looking for from Him, He will give you. Oh, I love that man. This is the only God. The only God that He will even bless those who hate Him. Such a merciful God. He knows you are going to hell. He knows somebody is going to hell. But the person is saying, Jesus, give me husband. Give me husband. She's standing there with trouser and naked body and speaking in tongue that the pastor teach her. The pastor, and then Jesus will look. Why is this one crying like this? Stand like this. What did they find? Oh, husband. Hey. Merciful Jesus. He goes, say, take. Then the person will go say, I told you he loved me. Yes, he loved you. But you will know the limit of that love one day. One day you will know the limit of that love. You'll understand this type of mercy. I told you, anytime a wicked person comes before God and receives anything, he has heaped coals of judgment upon your head. You know you are wicked. You know you are a bad man, bad woman. You know. But anytime you call upon this merciful God, He will give you what you want. You know you don't deserve it, but He gave you. You better start to fear. Because He told us, when your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. So he too, he practices it. Amen. People are taking God for granted. This thing that we are making all the sacrifices from. Some people look at us as foolish. But one of these days, you will see where this type of foolishness will lead us to. And how where your smartness will also end you up. May everybody hearing me tonight be foolish unto righteousness in the name of Jesus. I'd like to be a fool for Jesus. I'd like to be a fool for Jesus. Praise the Lord. When you slap me, I will not revenge. Am I not foolish? If I don't revenge, I'm foolish. But I'm a fool for Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The elect of God, every bride member. I don't mean Bride Assembly Church. Oh, I mean the members of the universal body of Jesus Christ. Those God has ordained for this kingdom. Every bride member. Hallelujah. I'm talking to them tonight. Every bride member, we are in expectation for the coming of the Lord to take us home in the rapture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The disciples, we are also in that expectation. They asked him this question in Matthew 24. Can we open it? They asked him this question in Matthew 24, in verse 3. They asked him a question in verse 3. I just pray that God will cause me to just make one statement that will make a backsliding Christian to repent. That will make somebody take their eternal destination more seriously than some of us are doing. More seriously. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. People go to churches, no revelation. Why? Everybody is chasing material possessions to the detriment of heavenly possessions. We are forsaking heavenly possessions and all attention is on earthly possessions. You can fast, you can go any length just to, you can practice every Bible principle for prosperity. But when it comes for you to practice every commandment in the Bible for righteousness, you turn it down. And they are all in the Bible. Prosperity is in the Bible. Condition for the rapture is also in the Bible. It's also in the Bible. Hallelujah. Don't grab one at the expense of the other like that. Jam the two together. Hallelujah. One sister called me. She did do a serious multimillionaire business. So after she had one message, I preached. She called me. She said, Pastor, do you think there is any need to be chasing all this money again? I said, sister, chase them all. Chase them, chase them. Continue to chase. This is what William Branham told us. Yes, Jesus is coming soon. They asked him the same question. And William Branham said, he said, plan your life. As if Jesus Christ is coming 100 years time. He said, but live your life as if he's coming the next moment. It's the life you live that matters. People go to churches and they know nothing. I mean nothing about God's provision, God's program, his plans to take his people home. They know nothing about it. Yesterday, I was with one of the prominent people in the country here. I won't call his name now. And I had 3 hours with him. Why? Because I was told that he was a Christian, but now converted to Muslim, Islam. And so there was opportunity to see him, and they booked an appointment for me to see him. He waited for 2 days for me to come. And I got to talking with him. Sir, he's a big man, the frontliners in this country. And he said, yes, he told me his story, everything about how, and I asked, why did you change from Christianity to Islam? And his reason is very pathetic, very, very pathetic. And like every other big man, those who believe they are intellectuals and those who have achieved what supposedly we call achievement, what they do. He said he believes that you should just, a man, two things a man must achieve. He said, believe in one God. And secondly, love your neighbor. He said, that is enough for him. Anyway, where I am going in making that reference is that I started asking him because I went there with my Bible. I said, sir, do you believe this Bible? He said, yes. I said, sir, did you, throughout your, he only converted 8 years ago. He said, 8 years ago, he converted to Islam. And I asked him, he said he was a Catholic. And I said, this is what the man told me by himself. He said, I want to ask him, I said, sir, do you believe this Bible? He said, yes, of course I believe. But he said, but you know, in our Catholic faith, which he was born and brought up in it, he said, in our Catholic faith, he said that you know, we are not exposed to the Bible. This man is almost 70 years old now. And he said, you know, we are not exposed to the Bible. He said, instead of the Bible, he said, there are writings they give us to read. That is the pathetic aspect of it. Hallelujah. That is the pathetic aspect of it. He stayed all along in his Christian journey, all his years, for over 60 years, he was a Christian of the Catholic faith, but knew nothing concerning this Bible. Therefore, it was easy, because he stood around. One of the second reasons was that he saw the fraud that was going on in Christianity. Hallelujah. He saw the fraud that was in Christianity. He told me, one of the most popular preachers that were making waves all over the country in those days, he said, was his very close friend, was his neighbor, Bethel. I mean, what did they call that place? He said, the man was a 419. He said, if that man said good morning, he said, before you answer, I said, look at your time. He said, small time. He saw what was going on. He said, small time. He said, the man, now don't become pastor. Don't become whatever it was that he was. And then he was making waves everywhere. This man said that he thought that the Christian faith was a faith to produce humility. He said, but now he is seeing pride all over. That stumbled him. He said it was a fraud. Fraud. Big fraud. The emphasis there was trying to bring is that he stayed there for over 60 years and knew nothing from this Bible. So, you see where it ended up? Well, I asked him a question and I told him, I said, sir, this Bible, Jesus Christ made a statement and said in John 14, where we read, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man gets to the creator of the heavens and the earth except by me, Jesus. I said, sir, by that statement, you have missed the way. The man stood and was looking at me. I said, you have missed it. I told him, I said, there has to be an original before there can be a fake. I told him that the Catholic Church is not a Christian church. That is the mistake he made. Hallelujah. He asked me so many questions. For the first time, he is hearing the gospel in another light. Hallelujah. I spent 3 hours with somebody that you can hardly get his 30 minutes. At that level, they are too busy. Praise God. He gave me 3 good hours to convince him, we are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling. Sisters, sing it. Sisters, sing it. On the right road, sisters. That is the Christian way, Christian way. Let me hear the brothers now. On the right road. Sing it, brother. Sing it, brother. To the city of God, we are traveling. If you won't go, don't hinder me. If you won't go, don't hinder me. If you tell your neighbor, tell your neighbor, don't hinder me. If you won't go, don't hinder me. I'm on my way. To glory land. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. That is the way. That is the way. I'm on my way.
To glory land.
I'm on my way. To glory land. I'm on my way. If you won't go, don't hinder me. Praise God. Can I continue now? Eh? Carry go. Okay, Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the sign of the end of the world? What shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? But for tonight, we are concerned with the sign of thy coming. Hallelujah. What shall be the sign of thy coming? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when he was to answer that question, Luke chapter 12, this is the way Luke put it, from verse 35. Hallelujah. And I'll read it. Remember, it's a Bible study. Please listen very carefully. It says, let your loins be gathered about and your lives burning, and you yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord. When, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, alright. Let's read on. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall guide himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief will come, he will have watched. Hallelujah. He will have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you think not. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. He said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cockcrowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Watch. What he said to those disciples, he said he's telling it to all his followers. What should you do? Watch. Watch what? Luke 21. Hallelujah. Luke 21. What are you supposed to watch? We are to watch, number one, watch Bible prophecies. Watch Bible prophecies. Watch Bible prophecies. Everything concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the Bible. Amen. Everything concerning the coming of Jesus Christ is in this Bible. Watch Bible prophecies. Luke 21. Let's read something he said there. From verse 8. In answer to those same questions. Hallelujah. Because there's this way Luke put it in verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? So the answer is from verse 8. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. Church, it's a Bible study, and allow me to explain some verses for us. Can I go on? Allow me to explain some verses for us. It's a Bible study. I said, don't read the Bible, study it. They are asking him, what is the sign of your coming? The first thing he said is, don't be deceived. It means there will be deceit to confuse the people concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first warning. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. When somebody will come, church, listen, that's why I say, allow me to explain some verses here. When he said, many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. The word Christ there, nobody is coming to say, I am Jesus Christ. He said, people will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. What is the meaning of Christ? Christ means the anointed one. That means, many people will come with anointing in the name of the Lord. Many will come and church. It is on now. This is the age of anointing. See anointing everywhere. See anointing everywhere. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 9. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. Don't be afraid. For these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. That is, it's not yet the end. Then said he unto them, nations shall rise against nation. Nation shall rise against nation. And kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Is that prophecy on now? Is that prophecy fulfilled now? And famines, hunger, food crisis, thank you, brother, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, it began. From verse 12, he was now being specific to those he was talking to at that time, those disciples. He said, before all this famine, earthquakes, church, you know that the number of earthquakes all over the world, the frequency, I mean, of earthquakes, volcanoes, landslides, killing, they are uncountable every day, one earthquake or the other in one place or the other. Jesus spoke it. They are signs of the end. And when we say sign of the end, the church, we are not yet talking about the end of the world. We are talking about the end of God's program for rapture. God's program to end man's rulership of earth. His program to end man's program on earth. Man has taken over. Satan with his human vessels have taken over this world, ruling this world. But the rulership of this world has been reserved for the seed of David, the seed of David. According to the Bible, the seed of David is coming to rule the whole world. Daniel chapter 2, he saw a dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream that he called Daniel. Daniel interpreted and showed him four kingdoms that will succeed one another, starting from the Babylonian. And we now know from history that we are in the fourth kingdom. And it is in the days of the fourth kingdom that God will come down, scatter that nonsense, and establish his own kingdom. So when we say the end of the world, we are talking of the end of that program that God allowed for man. What is the sign of that end? And it ends with the coming of Jesus Christ. So when you say the end of the world, we are actually talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the world systems of government to establish an ecclesiastical system of government, a system of righteousness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what we are hoping on. Church, listen. There is nothing anybody, no human being, we do anything to make the economy of this world better. Nothing. All their hypothetical theories, economic theories, all the professors and everything, they have failed. Now they are beginning to think again, what will they do? And remember, it is in the midst of that the Antichrist will hijack. Okay? It's true, because everything else we fail. And we fail. All the pillars that they are holding on to, we crumble. Amen. Oh God. I thank God that I am not part of that system. I am not. Oh, I'm not. Lie. The Bible calls us pilgrims on earth. We don't belong to this system here. And we thank God. When pressmen come to ask me, what do you think? As a man of God, do you think there is any hope for Nigeria? I say the hope is according to the Bible. That is the hope. Hallelujah. There is no other solution anywhere. Anybody that talk is hope. You know, there's nothing but political rhetoric. That's all. Nothing, no substance in anything. Somebody must say something now. So you must talk to give people hope. But when they shall say peace, what will happen? What did the Bible say? Sudden destruction comes upon them. Let's read on. What verse am I? From verse 12, he was now talking specifically to those disciples that were with him. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Did it come to pass? Did it come to pass? Church history. Go and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and see what all those disciples and their followers thereafter, what they went through for Christ's sake. Verse 17. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. The certainty of salvation. In your patience possess ye your souls. He's still talking from verse 20 to them, to those same 12 disciples, or how many of them that were there with him. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, when was that scripture fulfilled? AD 70. Yes. AD 70, if you read the history, that he died in AD 33. And in AD 70, it came to pass. Exactly as he spoke. But he was warning his disciples. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, they know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. Why? For these be the days of vengeance. They rejected Jesus Christ. They said, let his blood be upon us. That's why he allowed that to happen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For this be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child at that time, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon these people. And they, the army, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive. All inhabitants of Jerusalem, the Jews, shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And from AD 70, when that happened, until 1948, 1,878 years after. AD 70 subtracted from 1948. You see, 1,800 plus years. Jerusalem was laid desolate. They scattered them to all nations. That was the period Hitler had opportunity. And you know how many Jews were killed. Let their blood be upon us at that time and our children. They caused their children too to go through it. And they were there like that. But there were prophecies in the Bible that says they will come back to that land. Church, anytime you see the way God deals with Israel, you should have faith. Hallelujah. Prophecy that they will return lasted 1,800 years before it was fulfilled. How long is your own prophecy that God has given you concerning your problem? He, the Bible says, He, God, watches over His word to perform it. Once God has spoken to you and you are sure it is God that has spoken, relax. How He will bring it to pass is not your business. But certainly, He watches over His word to perform it. It gives me confidence to hear God's promises. And then the life that you live confirms whether you are a believer of God's word or not. I told you, for instance, an example of mine. I said that years back, when I was praying for a child, God gave me a revelation and I saw the boy. It was a boy. I saw it that night. I was so sure God was telling me He is giving me a son. But He didn't tell me the date. He didn't tell me how. He didn't tell me when. Or where. Or whatever it is. That is how He does it. Now, I'm sure of that revelation. I have several times I have been in an aircraft I am traveling. That we either meet some problem in the air or something. Anytime I want to say, hey, this is the end, I'll say, no. I have a promise. I have a promise that has not come to pass. Now lie, nothing will happen for this aircraft. Even if anything happens for this aircraft, I'm going to be the only person. We're going to leave. Why? God has spoken and it has not yet come to pass. It gives you boldness and confidence. And when they are crying, I'll be tapping them. Take it easy, nothing will happen. Take it easy, nothing will happen. Take it easy, nothing will happen. We are going. There was one that we thought we were all dead and gone. And then everybody was praying to the God. They know even Muslims were shouting Jesus. Everybody, I had somebody say, oh, so this is how I will end my life. I turned, I said, nothing will happen, nothing, look, nothing will happen, nothing will happen.
Why was I saying that? I was looking at a promise. See, people who believe the word of God, frustration will never get them. Amen. 1,800 years after, prophecy that was given that they will come back to that land, and that when they stay, nothing will move them again from that land. Why are these world powers still negotiating the land of Israel when it is written in the Bible? They have come to stay to receive their Messiah. Because very soon, the gospel will leave us to Israel. And God does not deal with Israel outside of their promised land. He gathered them there because he was closing up his program with the Gentile church so that he will move to them. So he brought them back. They have come there to receive their Messiah. Whether the devil likes it or not, the war powers are wasting their time. No wonder Zechariah prophesied that God said, he will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. The people of the world will burden themselves with that city. Why are they all interested in that city? Why? Satan knows why. Satan knows that is where the King of Kings is coming to stay. He wants to go ahead and take it over. But I'm telling you, God watches over his word to perform it. Came to pass exactly like Jesus Christ spoke. Then he came back to us, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, tsunamis. Jesus knew about tsunamis. When they said the sea is, you know, the sea and the waves roaring, until we see tsunamis, now we will not understand what happened. What he meant, I mean. But now we understand. So they have dashed me land for VI now, no go. Ah, if the thing took Bugu for Lagos here, all of us are gone. Advanced country, we get warning sign. Then they die. How much more we not get any warning sign? Even if we get the warning sign, if you call, they're not going to come pick you for where we are. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, what shall you do? Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The signs of the coming of the Lord. Verse 29. I spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, brother, sister, you are blessed. Ah, you are blessed, so because you have opportunity to hear what you will never have heard if you didn't come to a church like this. You are blessed. God loves you specially. That is why. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 34. And take heed to yourselves. Hallelujah. I think we have read that before. So let's just end. Let's go to another prophecy. Because we say, watch the prophecies. Watch. Watch Bible prophecies. Jesus Christ is not coming according to any man's idea. He is coming according to what the way it is written of him. Search the scriptures, he told the Jews. In them you think you have life. He said, for they are they that testify of me. Search the scripture. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything every believer needs to know concerning the coming of Jesus Christ is in this Bible. Watch what the Bible says. and take heed to yourselves. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you from verse 1. Brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that's the rapture, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. He was writing it back then, in the first church age. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He's telling them, don't be troubled because we keep telling you Christ is coming soon. Christ is coming soon. He said, don't be troubled. Either through our letters or through anything that anybody has told you. Yes, Christ is coming soon. So your mind has trouble. He said, no. Then he goes to verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Before Christ will come. Apostle Paul in the first church age was still planting the church. He was laying the foundation. And he warned, let no one build any other foundation other than that which has been laid. He was dropping the doctrines. Was setting the church in order. They were still setting. Then he told them, he said, before Christ will come, we say he's coming soon, don't be troubled, oh, because he was prophesying. He said, Christ will not come until there will be a fall away first. Fall away from what? Fall away from this Bible. The Bible faith. Apostle Paul had to ask them one time. He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. That we fall away from this faith and church. This is the age that Apostle Paul saw. Almost 2,000 years ago, Apostle Paul saw it. He saw that people will leave Bible Christianity and heap to themselves teachers. They will go, hallelujah, and then have their own doctrines, have church. We say this here every time. You know, you see why every time I have opportunity to preach, I discover that some of the messages I preach, they may not even be for just the people sitting down here. Because the tape messages, they go outside the country, they go outside Lagos. A sister from London said, anytime she's down in the spirit, he said it is our tapes she will listen to. Some said they listen to us through the internet in Europe. So I know somebody is hearing me even now. Outside this auditorium. Praise the Lord. I wrote a track that we titled One Your Pastor. That's the only track we have in this church. Because there was no need for another track. That track covers every area. Boboye. Hallelujah. Boboye said last Sunday he was in Abuja. He packed a heap of a One Your Pastor tract. He said in the morning he went to one big church he saw and stood outside there. Everybody passing, he would give them One Your Pastor. He said one man collected it with his wife. They went inside the church. He said the man stood there and then later on he came out and told him, he said, he was sitting inside there, he read the tract that he collected, and then suddenly he tapped his wife, let's get out of this place. And he left that church, and he came to Dayo, that he should give him more of the tracts, he will help him to distribute them. Hallelujah. There are people that are still looking for truth. That's why I preach it the way I preach. He said, Christ will not come except there come a fall away first. And I have said it several times. If it is not the spirit of religion that is following you, If you are, your head is still intact and you are reading this Bible with all your senses on, if you finish reading this Bible and you turn to look at the people that are supposed to be practicing that Bible, if you are sincere with yourself, you will ask some questions. You will ask some questions. You may not have the answer, but certainly you will know something is wrong. A basic question you will ask, for instance, is, when did we become Bride Assembly, Assemblies of God, Catholic, Methodist, Tuesday, Redeem, and all the names? When did Christianity break into such factions? No, if you are serious, you will ask that type of question. Now, people don't deal with me because I'm a Christian. You are dealing with me because I'm a member of your church. If I'm not a member of your church, or I decide to leave your church, you have nothing to do with me. People are no longer priests to come into the body of Christ. People are now priests to come and be member of a church. When did Christianity degenerate to that level? Christ will come soon. For which group is he coming? Is he coming for Catholic or is he coming for Anglican? You see? If you read this Bible very well, you begin to find out where were the wives of those apostles? What ministry? What was their part in the ministry? What was the denominational headquarters of Peter's church? What was the name of Apostle Paul's denomination? Where was his headquarters? Who was he sending and posting and you know what is happening. When you turn and you enter a church, our master that told us a servant cannot be greater than his master. Among 12 disciples, he needed an insider to identify that great miracle worker. He was so common until if you come among them, you have to ask, where the man now? So humble until John the Beloved, when they sit down like this, he will lie down and put his head for his chest. So certainly, it cannot be the Jew. This cannot be the Jew. So where is the Jew now? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You go to any church now and tell me whether you will ask anybody before you will know who is a Jew. You will see his seat and his wife's seat there. Churches have been reduced to family business. Where do you find that in the Bible? No more holiness. This is the only religion on earth, Christianity, that the leaders will say, come anyhow. God is a good God. Let them come. Then when they come, then they will hear the word as if they have the word that can change anybody. Praise God. That is the falling away. You will ask the question, what was the spiritual or ministerial title of Apostle Paul? Reverend Doctor. Apostle Paul. Until Nigeria preachers especially, you can never call, they are so crazy about titles, until you watch some of them on television. Pastor and Doctor Prophet. Pastor and Reverend Doctor Prophet. And woe betide you when you are addressing them. You are addressing them only as brother. But Matthew 23 forbids that. He said we should call ourselves who? Brethren. I'm your brother. You're my sister. If you call me Brother Moses, hallelujah. What is a better relationship? Pastor or brother? What's a better relationship with you? Is it pastor or brother? Ah, you are just knowing that now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. when they enter my office here, they are expecting to see what they, you know, because your church, immediately you enter that pastor's office, you kneel down. One small boy is sitting down there because he's anointed. Then his grandmother will come and kneel down. Daddy. That's the falling away. That is the falling away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the beginning, it was not so. It was not so. Praise the Lord. And if you're a minister listening to me now, go and repent. Go and scatter that special seat you put there for your wife. Take her back to the congregation. She is a minister in your house, not in the church. Praise God. When God calls you, He calls your wife too. Yes, of course. Every Christian you are called. But you are called with a specific position in the body. The wife is called with a specific position in the body. Apostle Paul said, leadership in the church does not include a woman. She should help you in your ministry at home. Take care of the home front. Will help you if she has the grace. She has to have the grace so that she can help in helping to coordinate the women fellowship. And she may not have the grace. And the grace does not come automatic by virtue of her position as the first lady. Because she may be the first lady and know nothing about the things of the Spirit. And the things of the Spirit, they are not inherited. It's not by inheritance. It's not a chieftaincy office. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm still reading, though. Can I go on? Verse 3 again. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the coming of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first. That is number one. The second thing. And that man. Somebody shout that man. Shout that man. That man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition. Who is that man? Is the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a man. The Antichrist is a man. And he's not from the Middle East. He is not from Al-Qaeda. He's not a terrorist. He is busy kissing little children now. He said, that man will be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is a son of perdition? Is one that leads people to destruction. That is the meaning of son of perdition. Judas was a son of perdition. The spirit that was in Judas is coming again on a man. The full manifestation of Lucifer himself embodied in a human being. He said he will be revealed. And church, he has been revealed. We know who he is. We know where he's coming from. We know his address. We know the office. He's not an animal, oh! He's a man. And he's a religious man, oh! And he's holding Bible. Let me stop at that. That man, verse 4, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God. That's why I say he's in the church. Showing himself that he is God. A human being says his title is His Holiness. And some answer his grace, his preeminence, a servant of humble Jesus. Oh, when you see people who got revelation of salvation, who got a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, serene and holy, obedient, lowly, on earth I long to be like him. By faith forgiven and heirs of heaven, on earth I long to be like him, to be like him,
to be like
Jesus,
to be like Jesus.
Sing it. On earth I long to be like him, all through life joy, from end to glory, I only ask to be like him. That is what that songwriter said. Serene and holy, obedient and lowly. That is who Jesus Christ is. See, so many people, I have explained John 14:6 to so many people and they don't understand. But the life you live, you come here, you hear the deep things of the scripture, but you don't want to practice it. What other remedy do you look like? Jesus said, I am the way. I've preached on that verse. Hallelujah. Jesus, Genesis chapter 1, he said, let us make man in our image. And he created Adam and Eve. But that image was corrupted. See, children of Adam, see, see us. Is this the image of God? And I told you, the image of God is not the nose. It's not the color of your skin. It's not your height, the size of your body. That's not the image. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Hallelujah. We didn't understand what God meant until Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 described Jesus Christ as the image of the invisible God. Then we understand why Apostle Paul referred to Jesus Christ as the last Adam. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. No man cometh to the Father except by me. When he said, I am the way. Hallelujah. What is the way? His character. That is his character. I am the truth. What he was telling you concerning salvation, thus saith the Lord, came through him. The life. What life? He is the giver of eternal life that was offered on the cross on Calvary. You have to receive the life that was in him, for he received not the Spirit by measure. Why? The Bible says, the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:27 speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the life giver. If you want, hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he God did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. He is the firstborn. I am the secondborn. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And if the firstborn is holy, the second one must be holy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If not, why will you say it's your brother? How is he your brother? Our destiny is to be conformed to his image. Because he is that image that God wanted in the Garden of Eden. That Satan corrupted. You're sitting down here. You don't have anything to measure your standing before God. What do you use to know? The only thing we use to know is the life of Jesus. When somebody slap you in revenge, tapa, for you to know whether what you have done is correct before